Hour number two on this Wednesday. Happy hump day to all of you. Glad to be back with Rami here on Sactown Sports. A lot to get through. Yaron Weitzman will join us coming up in about 15 minutes or so to talk NBA. That should be fun. And speaking of the NBA, Rami, while I was gone, lots happened.
Yes.
But yesterday, Bob Myers said goodbye to Golden State. Now, this is something you and I have talked about an awful lot over the past couple of months.
Still surprising, though, is what I said yesterday. Even though, like, you knew it was a possibility and maybe even 50-50 or obviously greater than 50-50 that he would walk away, I was still surprised.
I had seen something from Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer over the last few days. I don't know when it was. Everything's been a blur, frankly. Mm-hmm. But I saw him comment about how, you know, Myers wasn't going to anything. He didn't go to the combine. He didn't go to, like, any of these workouts. O'Connor had said at that point, it seemed pretty much that the writing was on the wall. Like, this dude's not doing the job right now, which means he's probably not going to continue and hold the job any longer. And then literally within, like, 2-3 days, it was made official. Here was Warriors owner Joe Lacob at yesterday's press conference talking about his team and the fact that they're going to continue winning.
We're going to win no matter what. I don't care what the rules are. We are going to figure out a way to do it. That's what good organizations do. They figure out a way to win the game. And our game is to win games and to win championships. And you know, when we came here, this ownership group 13 years ago, we made a ridiculous proclamation about winning within 5 years. And, of course, somehow we managed to do it, all of us. Players and everybody involved, and we've continued to win. And look, the rules will change in the game, but we'll continue to do that. We're going to work really hard to do it, and I think we have really smart people, and we'll do it.
Now, look, I don't want to glaze anybody's eyes over, but what he's talking about is the CBA. The new CBA makes it very difficult.
$500 million potentially in luxury tax that they're going to have to pay.
And for any team that wants to possibly have two guys that are maxed contracts, it makes it incredibly difficult to contend and build a team with that situation.
What do you mean by choosing between them?
Yeah, you might have to, Tim. You might have to. So, Rami, I think the million-dollar question is whether or not we believe the Warriors are in trouble because of Myers stepping down.
I do. I think Myers is stepping down because he sees the trouble, Nick.
Oh, I like that.
I think he sees...
He's looking around. He's like, nope.
He's out. He's looking at that $500 million luxury tax, and he's looking at phase two of the Warriors dynasty that he had planned and everybody thought was going to work as recently as a year ago. I remember the articles being written of, could the Warriors thread this needle of transitioning seamlessly from one dynasty to another with Kuminga and Wiseman and Moody and Jordan Poole signed up to the big contract? I think he looked at all that and he went, uh-oh. let me get out while I still look good.
Time to bounce.
Let me get out while the legacy of Bob Myers is still strongly intact, and this can all be somebody else's problem. And I'll take a year off or go to TV booth or something, and then I'll hand pick my next spot where I'll have assets to work with and add on to my legacy.
Well, it's interesting today. Front Office Sports is reporting that ESPN is very interested in Myers. So, I mean, this certainly seems like he knew well beforehand, and that's why he kept turning down offers. The reports are that the Warriors ownership group was, like, pretty much willing to give this guy the world. And he was like, eh, I don't feel like it. So whether it's burnout, whether it's Rami's theory, which I really like, he's looking around going, we're getting older, and if I stay here, this ain't going to go well, so it's time for me to go, because Moses Moody and Kuminga and Wiseman might not work
not
out.
Not panning out the way I thought.
And now it's time to...
And I just gave Jordan Poole the world to be part of the core of this next dynasty.
Look, this, I would not say that they're done, they're like, it's over. I wouldn't panic just yet, because frankly, I don't know.
They got 1 year left.
I don't know what Mike Dunleavy Jr.'s capabilities are, right? Like, the guy hasn't done the job. He takes over from Myers.
The Mike Dunleavy Jr. part wouldn't worry me if I'm a Warriors fan as much as his son.
Now, that's getting
a prominent role. Yes.
Because I would not dismiss Dunleavy yet. Like, if he's going to do the job, I want to see him do the job for a year or two before I say, oh, forget it, this guy sucks. He might be better than Myers. Who knows? So I'm not going to write him off. But as you said, Rami, there have been reports already that Lacob's son is going to have more influence, power, and more decision-making within this franchise. Now, again, I'm not telling you that the guy can't do the job. I don't know him. I don't know him from a hole in the wall. He might be a great evaluator of talent.
Might be a brilliant basketball mind.
But a lot of times when you see this kind of thing happen, it fails. So if I'm a Warriors fan, I'm not panicked, but I'm certainly concerned. I'm not panicked, but I'm certainly having some kind of feeling in my stomach at the pit going, oh, this is far from ideal. Because the last thing I want to hear is reports coming out that the owner's plan is like, hey, we'll just give my son more power.
Yeah.
Because, again, it doesn't always work out. Now, Stephen Jones, for Jerry Jones, he has not done a bad job for the Cowboys. They brought some good talent onto that team, right? I think they've swung and missed on the coaching for the last, like, decade or so. But talent-wise, they put together a pretty talented roster. So, again, it's not impossible. But when I start hearing the son is the answer, I do start to look at it and go, is that the best plan here?
Yeah, I watch Succession. I know Simone watches Succession.
Don't say a word. I'm not spoiling anything,
but the moral of the story is maybe.
Go ahead and tell her, Rami. No worries.
Just maybe.
How dare you.
That the kids aren't always ready to take over the business.
Nepotism isn't so great.
Having the last name doesn't necessarily make you qualified.
is what
we kind of learned over the run of that show. And I'm right there with you, Nick.
And it happens all the time in sports. Like, when you look at the NFL, it's why these, like, 80-year-old owners are just holding on to it. They're already rich. They ain't worried about that. They're holding on to it because they're going to give it to their kid. Like, look at Cal McNair down in Houston. What's he done for the Houston Texans that's been great? Not much at all. But he runs it, and people will tell you that he's pretty much incompetent to run a football business, but he's there because daddy gave it to him. That's how this works. That's how the world works.
I think they have one more year left if they choose to bring back Draymond Green.
Here's the problem that, like, we don't really have a true appreciation for it because we're not in the building. We're not with these people every single day. But from what I have read and from what I have heard and from what I have watched, the relationships in that building matter. And from what I understand, Myers has a very good relationship with the players. And the thought process, from what I had gathered here, was that the best opportunity for the Warriors to bring back Draymond Green and Klay Thompson on, let's just say, more affordable contracts. I don't want to say, you know, team friendly, but more affordable contracts. Because both guys believe they're worth the max, which neither is.
No.
But the best opportunity, the best chance that Golden State had to kind of keep this band together for the next 2 years and maybe complement them with other pieces was Myers going to Draymond Green and Klay and saying, look, you guys, you know, we love everything
you've
done.
There was a relationship there.
Yeah, but you're not the same players, and we're going to need you to take a pay cut. Now, Dunleavy might have that kind of relationship with them. I don't know. But from what I've read, they're tight with Myers, and Myers has always had really good conversations with those guys. Mm-hmm. So relationships matter. What happens with Klay? What happens with Dre? And most of all, Rami, let's not forget, Steve Kerr reportedly is pretty damn tight with Myers, too. So,
and he's got a year left on his contract.
Exactly. So Myers is out the door right now. I will take your theory about Myers looking around and saying, this ain't going to go well. I'll add my own theory to it. Myers might know that Steve Kerr is done after this coming year because they're close. And he might be getting ahead of this and saying, as soon as Kerr leaves, this thing is going to have to be restarted again because of his relationship with Kerr. He might have some inside knowledge on this. And that's why he did not want to sign a contract for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, because he might know that Kerr is going to leave once this is all done next season. And he knows that once that happens, the trickle-down effect will play a huge role into the future of this organization, and he is not in the mind right now of having a rebuild.
Can I give you one more wrinkle in your conspiracy theory?
Give me all the wrinkles,
theory,
Rami.
Hypothesis?
Give me all the wrinkles you've got.
We know Steve Kerr is a Greg Popovich disciple, and Greg Popovich is getting up there in years. Maybe going and coaching Victor Wembanyama.
Ooh.
And a new dynasty is intriguing to a Steve Kerr if he indeed is ready to move on to Golden State.
And if you're Bob Myers, like, you're looking around, okay? And there's a lot of teams that are in contention right now, but have really big decisions to make over the next 12, 24 months. What happens in Boston, right? If Boston doesn't make it to the finals next year or win a title, is Brad Stevens out? Does Brad Stevens leave and say, all right, I want to go back to coaching? Myers can walk right into Boston with a guy like Jason Tatum at the epicenter. Milwaukee, very, very crucial next year or two with Giannis. Myers is looking at that saying, hey, maybe I go there with Giannis at the epicenter. So there's jobs that are likely to open over the next two or three years that Myers is saying, I don't want to sell my soul to this organization right now because it is very unlikely that this run is going to continue here in Golden State. If I get out now, do TV for a year or two, position myself for the next team that I could help build that already has a star that's young, that's not, you know, 35 years old like Steph Curry is, that's what I want to do.
I don't know what Portland's front office situation is right now, but if I'm them, I go to Bob Myers and I say, here's all the money in the world, Dame Lillard, the third pick in the draft, and a talented young roster. Do what you can with it.
It's, I mean, you mentioned, you know, Wembanyama in San Antonio and Popovich. If Popovich leaves, does R.C. Buford leave with Popovich and a whole new crew comes in? Does Steve Kerr get that job and bring Myers into San Antonio with Wemby at the epicenter? So he's not going to lose anything. The guy is respected. He's viewed as one of the best front office people in the entire league.
Oh, Adrian Wojnarowski said he'll be the most sought after front office person in North American sports history. Now he also said Victor Wembanyama was the greatest. This is Woj's new thing. He said Victor Wembanyama was the greatest prospect in North American team sports history. So this North American sports thing and the greatest ever in the history of it is Woj's new way of telling you just how big a move or how important a guy is.
So we'll see what happens, but Myers, he's got nothing to lose, everything to gain. He can get right back into the game next year.
Jay called it a punk move yesterday when I threw my theory at him of getting out while the getting's good.
Ooh. Strong language from Jay.
I say he's smart. You got to look out for number one.
All right, we'll discuss the NBA Finals and more with Yaron Weitzman in 90 seconds.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sactown Sports.
All right, let's keep rolling with the basketball conversation. Joining us on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, is Yaron Weitzman from Fox Sports, NBA reporter. Cattles and Rami here at Sactown Sports. Yaron, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time. We were just talking about Bob Myers, Yaron, and how much more difficult do you think it'll be for the Warriors to be a contender next year without Myers being the guy?
Do we have Yaron?
I see Yaron. I don't hear.
Am I not here?
Oh, there he is. Now we got him.
There he is. There's a, we're good to go.
Hamster's
on the
wheel.
Is that my tech stupidity or is that my fault? Are we good?
Honestly, don't know. No need to point fingers, though. We're all here.
Okay. There we go. Bob Myers. Okay. Warriors. I mean, I guess it's all connected. The biggest question for them in terms of their ability to contend next year is what they do with Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole and how they manage their roster and with the new collective bargaining agreement coming down the pipe that I think is a little more restrictive than I think many fans realize. And it's going to force a lot of teams. You're starting to hear about this now a little bit with the Celtics and how they have to sort of choose between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And I think the Warriors are going to have similar issues coming down. So with back to Bob Myers, it's like, if you need to have difficult conversations with players, I imagine he not having him there is a big issue. As long as they have Steph Curry, they're a contender. That's a simple answer. The things along the margins are where they're probably going to miss him.
I threw out the theory that maybe he saw the potential salary cap, luxury tax problems that are on the horizon, and he's seen that this next phase of the Warriors with Kuminga and Wiseman and Moody and Poole is not necessarily working out the way that they had hoped it would, and he's getting out before that job gets a lot harder, and he can go pick the job that he wants next.
That's interesting. I'll preface this. I don't know Bob Myers. Like, I'm
sure.
On the East Coast.
Yeah.
I haven't covered him. So
neither
I
do I.
Him.
Total theory and speculation on my part.
That's cool. Do speculate and theorize as much as you want. I'm cool with that. That's definitely possible. The only thing, like, I don't know. Like, what would have to go wrong for him to not have the pick of Jot? What would have to go wrong for A, Warriors to say, you know, we're good, like, you know, we're done with you, and B, his resume to be tarnished where he can't then choose whatever job he wants next, right? That's the only thing.
Yaron Weitzman is with us here on Sacktown Sports, Cattles and Rami. You just mentioned Yaron, the Celtics. Do you think they make some major changes this offseason? Do you think they should make some major changes?
It's really, when we say that, there are basically two main questions there, right? It's Joe Mazzulla. Do you bring him back as the head coach? And it's Jaylen Brown, who's now eligible for that Supermax. And do you give that to him? The Mazzulla thing's interesting. I know the Celtics before the season, like, this was not an accident. Obviously, Mazzulla getting that job was a result of the Ime Udoka circumstances and all surrounding that. But Mazzulla is somebody who the Celtics front office really believed in. They were somebody who they thought would be a future head coach. So much so that when Will Hardy, the former assistant, was hired by Utah, he wanted to hire Mazzulla as one of his assistants, and the Celtics wouldn't allow that. Right, and that was before Udoka was suspended. So the Celtics believed in Mazzulla coming into the year. Everyone ripped on Mazzulla all season about the timeouts and all these things. And I think fans, I think sometimes when the public talks about coaching, it's a little surface level. The Celtics still won 58 games and were second in offense and defense. So that's a pretty good year. That said, like, when they were down 3-0, I think he was in trouble. Them coming back from the 3-0 deficit, like, I don't think if they were swept by the Heat, I don't know how you go into the next season and Brad Stevens can tell Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum that, yay, we want to win a championship, and this is the guy who's going to lead us there. Like, I think that would have been a problem. I think coming back and forcing a game seven sort of salvages that, and I'd be pretty surprised if he doesn't, if Mazzulla is not brought back. Jaylen Brown's more interesting. The easiest answer and the easiest thing to do is for the Celtics to offer him the max, even if they don't necessarily believe that a Tatum-Brown pairing is the best way to go. To be clear, like, we could all hammer them and make fun that they've never won a championship. This is a group that's made the conference final. I don't know, whatever it is. How many conference finals now in the past 5 years and won two games in the finals? Like, they're good enough to win. We know that. It hasn't come through yet. But even if the Celtics don't necessarily believe so, like, the move is you sign Jaylen Brown, and then if you need to trade him, you trade him when he's under contract, right? That's the move. It's just easier to get more value. So I don't expect many major changes to come there.
When you look at this finals matchup, and not necessarily your prediction, we can get that from you before we get out, but just from a matchup standpoint, basketball entertainment standpoint, what kind of series do you think the Nuggets and the Heat deliver here?
I mean, I find Jokic in general, just from an entertainment standpoint, mm-hmm. he's like one of the most fun players to watch in the league. And I've enjoying, you've enjoyed in the playoffs. That's cool. Like, I do this with other sports, right? I follow the NBA. But like, you see these, all these people saying, oh, wow, this Jokic guy, he's pretty good. And it's like, yeah, the 2-time MVP. You clearly haven't watched him in a couple of years, which is fine. But it's not only that he's good, he's just completely unique in his style. He's just so much fun to watch. So him and, you know, and Jimmy Butler's slowing down, but like, when Jimmy's on these playoff Jimmy, runs where he's tearing out the souls of like the Bucks and the Celtics, that's an absolute blast. Also, I'd be sitting, watching it on TV, just laughing out loud at myself just at the whole moment. So I enjoy that. I think it's going to be fun seeing those two go at it at this stage and seeing, for one of those guys, this is going to be a real legacy, I don't want to say defying, but legacy ceiling, a moment that's going to really change how I think we look at them 20 years from now and their respective careers.
Yaron Weitzman from Fox Sports, NBA reporter there with us here on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports on this Wednesday. I'm sure Rami will ask you your prediction for that series, but I want to circle back to the Eastern Conference and that side of things, Yaron, because I know you wrote the book Tanking to the Top on the 76ers, and Daryl Morey has selected Nick Nurse as the next head coach of that organization. We hear that James Harden is likely headed back to Houston. What do you think they do this offseason?
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? They're one of these teams who are, it's really a, inflection point, fork in the road, choose your cliche, whichever one you want to use. They're there, right? They're at that point. The Harden thing, I don't know. I know there's been some reporting out there. Like, Houston's definitely in play. And this is semi-informed. Like, what James Harden says in December, January, February, like, it doesn't matter, right? Like, I'm sure he's told people he wants to go back to Houston. I'm sure he's also told people he wants to go back to Philly. Like, for guys, like, we've seen that before with other superstars, but especially someone like Harden. All that matters is how he's feeling on June 20th, June 30th, July 1st, right? That's like, who gets it last? So I think the Sixers are still going to try to re-sign him. I think we're going to see now James Harden trying to leverage Houston and Philly against each other, just trying to get as much money as he can, power to him. Philly's problem is that if they lose Harden, just from a salary cap perspective, they can't replace him. There's no recourse to go replace him. I'm sure they would say that they have all these brilliant strategies that, you know, I'm not smart enough. That I'm sure they do, right? I'm sure they have contingency plans, but, you know, there's none that are obvious. It's not like they get cap space if they let Harden walk. The only
right.
way you get cap space is if you trade Tobias Harris and you have to attach a pick. And, you know, everyone makes fun of Tobias Harris in the contract, but you talk about, like, he's still a good NBA player, right? So it's like if you're dumping a guy like that, you still have to replace him in your rotation. So it's a problem, and they're kind of stuck, which is why Harden could probably get a lot of money from them, is that he has them in a tough place where if they want to win a title, they probably need to bring him back, even if that means overpaying. And they probably also know that, like, giving him a big deal is probably not a smart move. So it's going to be really fascinating to watch.
So how do you see this thing playing out? Who's holding up the Larry O'Brien in a couple of weeks?
I'm going to say Denver, but with the caveat that I think I picked Miami to lose like 9 times in the past 2 months. Right?
So, you and the rest of the basketball world.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, there's no reason there was no way Miami was going to be Milwaukee, no way they're going to be Boston, no way they could be Denver. So, like, I don't know. They are the most improbable. I think, like, you can say they're the most improbable finalist in NBA history. Their statistical profile, we've never seen something like this. We've seen 8 seeds, but we've never seen something like this before. So who the hell knows?
That's right. I think you perfectly wrapped it up. Who the hell knows? All right. Thanks for your time, man. Much appreciated. Great stuff. Let's do it again soon.
Well, thanks. That's the expertise I like to bring to you guys. That's thanks, it. Guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. There goes Yaron Weitzman, Fox Sports NBA reporter on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Who the hell knows?
I think that's every basketball expert. And not just the Heat, the playoffs.
Yeah.
When you look at the playoffs, it's a lot of who the hell knows.
Yeah. Who knows? You think I know? I don't know.
I have
you
no
know?
Idea.
Nobody knows.
No, we're all just pretending.
Yeah.
And having fun. And none of it matters.
Eastern Conference Finals wasn't too fun for me, but yeah, sure. Sure.
Three of them were fun.
Two of them. Game 6 was a nightmare. Survived. Okay?
That's a good way to put it. You survived it.
Anyway, coming up, Derek Carr gets some unlikely help. Be gone for a couple of weeks, and bam, new music return.
Mic check. First one. That didn't happen to me the whole time you were
here. Oh, I'm sure you were flawless in my absence.
It really didn't.
No, he really didn't. It wasn't too bad.
Because I'd have to.
Responsible Rami showed up.
Maybe it was like one or two infractions.
That was like the show doesn't start out of the break.
Hold on a minute.
Yes.
Because Simone just said maybe there was one. Look,
no, I don't think there were any.
This is black or white here, okay? This is black or white. Did he mess up at all when I was gone with the mic check?
I genuinely don't think I had one. I could be mistaken. I don't think I had one mic check.
Simone is making a face as if she knows that you had at least one.
Oh.
And she doesn't necessarily want to go through this battle.
I would appreciate if Jay would actually pot up and
now she calls out Jay.
I'm not arguing or disagreeing. I'm saying to my remembrance, I don't think that makes me feel better.
Kyle just chatted into the YouTube and said, not to snitch on Rami, I can remember one.
Okay. Then I had one.
There you go.
All right. If Kyle remembers it clearly,
not bad for a guy who averages, what, between 2 and 3 a day with me?
Yeah.
So not too bad.
Well, when you're the lead, the show, like, doesn't start coming out of the break until your mic is on. So it's a lot easier
to
remember.
I'd like to say as the lead, the show doesn't stop. that's how it really
is. Just saying.
Non-stop.
It's a little easier to remember when that's your responsibility.
We have a fun draft mockery coming up in about 10 minutes or so. I will say, before we even get into it, though,
yes.
Not necessarily my expertise, okay? I have a feeling that Simone's going to be dropping, like, everything post-2010, and I'm so old school with our draft mockery this week, it's going to be – I might be embarrassed.
I dropped some serious nerdism on the show, yes.
Yeah, if anything, I think Rami is going to be taking the lead on this
one.
I heard something about
Rami and JJ going back and forth, and it got into, like, deep levels of nerdum.
Yeah, it did. It really did. We went deep.
So
brought you some deep cuts from the comic book
world.
It's
going to be a very thoughtful draft mockery.
But the deep cuts. We'll get into the draft mockery in about 10 minutes. But first, Rami, this was interesting to me. So John Gruden ended up visiting New Orleans, and he swung by the Saints facility to discuss Derek Carr and the offense with the New Orleans coaching staff. Dennis Allen, head coach of the Saints, met up with the media yesterday. Here's what Allen had to say about the decision to bring John Gruden into town to discuss all things Derek Carr and this Saints offense.
Number one, we've had several coaches come in visit. Obviously, John's a guy that has a lot of experience with Derek, and Derek's had his most success under John Gruden. And so we felt like bringing him in, having a chance to sit down and visit with him as an offensive staff, with the quarterbacks, and just get some new thoughts and ideas, things that we might be able to implement. You know, I would say this. I would say, you know, offensively, for a long time that I've been here, we've been pretty effective offensively. And so I don't see us putting in a whole new offense or doing something dramatic. But, you know, if there's a few ideas that we could take from that, we felt like that would be beneficial.
Is this weird, Rami, to you?
It's very weird. It's really, really weird.
Why? Wow.
Just because, first of all, why? Like, if you're not changing anything about the offense, from just a football standpoint, why, Nick? But beyond football, are we just going to glaze over the reason that this dude is not the coach of the Raiders anymore and that whole thing and what exactly he's done since then? Because as I always say, I'm not here to cancel anybody.
Yeah.
People aren't disposable. I'm about, you know, reform. I'm about people learning and growing and being better. At no point did I hear, hey, what has John Gruden been doing for the last 2.5 years since the hat trick of hate, of homophobia, racism, and misogyny?
So there wasn't much thirst out there for John Gruden, is what you're saying.
And if I'm a player and I'm sitting there looking at my head coach, like, especially if I'm a player of color, if I'm a player who supports gay rights, if I'm a player who supports women and equal rights, if you're a human, if you're a player who happens to be, or just a human who, like, you know, doesn't like to see the type of stuff that we saw come out of John Gruden's mouth. Now I'm wondering, like, what about my coach? Like, is he okay with this stuff? I just hope this isn't like paving the way for John Gruden to come back to the NFL with no accountability, with no real recourse or proof that he's done anything to make up and come back from what we all know about this man now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're talking off the field stuff, and I think every single point you make makes a lot.
Talking about leadership.
Makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. I'm looking at this from the football standpoint. You discussed the personal standpoint off the field. Again, I agree with what you just said. Football stuff, it is a little weird too, because I understand that this happens a lot. Coaches bring other coaches in, they share ideas, etc. But this is different. You know, Gruden recently has coached this guy, was the head coach of this quarterback recently. And number one, they didn't always have the greatest relationship. There was some headbutting.
I mean, Carr's numbers were better under Gruden, weren't they?
Than
they
passer were rating, yes. Is the two best years passer rating-wise of his career were with Gruden. Then people would tell you, which those people are accurate, that he kind of fell back down the mountain. But, you know, this idea that, you know, he's worked with Carr before, which makes a lot of sense, again. But if you're on that staff, does this show kind of a lack of confidence within you? I don't know. It's just strange that you bring the guy in who, you know, just worked with him. Again, positively speaking, you're gathering as much intel and info as possible. Again, he had his best passer ratings under Gruden, and you're just trying to get the most out of Derek Carr. I'm sure they asked Derek Carr before they brought Gruden in. It wasn't like they brought him in a room and surprise. I don't think that's what happened. But yeah, you kind of welcome a lot of questions when you do this. And maybe that actually tells us the opposite, right? I mean, if I wanted to play devil's advocate here, I could say, well, you know what? The fact that they brought him in tells you they believe in their coaching staff. They have confidence in those guys. They trust those guys. They're not worried about it, because you wouldn't do this if you had any question. Because then it opens the door to, like, ooh, is Gruden going to be the next OC?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's an interesting decision by the Saints, because you're dredging up all of this other stuff and you're dredging up this past between Gruden and Carr. And, you know, is it the best for Carr to be bringing in his old head coach right before he this is like a reset for him, right? Like he's trying to reset his football life. And the first thing you do is bring up, you know, the ghost of Christmas past and bring John Gruden in, which is a little weird. A little weird.
I don't like it at all, Nick. I don't like it on any level. Not on a football level, not on a human level. I don't like it. Not one bit. And like I said, that's a real easy way for you to lose me as a coach. You know what I mean? Yeah. By bringing that guy in.
Well, you know, you don't like that, but you know what we all like.
Oh, yes, we do.
We all like.
Oh, buddy.
The draft mockery. Mm-hmm. And coming up next, we have a superhero edition.
Love it.
We're in the room and we're checking boards. Do you think we're being serious? Nah.
It's the mockery draft.
All right, let's get into it. Now, I mentioned this for a brief moment last segment. I feel like I am going to be incredibly underwhelming in today's draft mock.
You're at a disadvantage.
Because I am not a... How would you term it?
Nerd.
Okay.
That's not a bad term anymore. They used to be insulting. Yeah, it's not a bad term anymore.
I'm a pro wrestling nerd, but I'm not I'm not like a Star Wars or superhero nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you guys are probably, you and Simone especially, are probably going to drop names that I have no idea who the hell they are. Okay, I will have no clue as to some of these superheroes.
I want to hear your guesses if we have time for it. Just an immediate guess.
So I'm completely ready to be looking around like, who is that?
And this came up yesterday because we were making the old Batman and Robin analogy.
Yes.
And talking about Jaylen Brown.
Who's they?
If you want him to become a kid.
You and JJ, right?
Me and JJ, yeah. Okay. And Simone jumped in later as the conversation evolved. And I talked about the fact that Robin eventually became Nightwing. And that was when I completely lost Jay.
Nightwing?
Nightwing, yes. When Robin, Dick Grayson, Robin's secret identity, if you didn't know, he wanted to go his separate way. He wanted to be his own man and get out of the shadow of Batman. So, Robin became Nightwing, and a new Robin was anointed.
So I said a moment ago that I am completely going to be underwhelming here in this death mockery, yeah, based off of the information Rami just shared with you. All right, so here's the order.
I'm amazed more people didn't know that. That's American history.
We're gonna draft superheroes, people.
Yes,
and you can throw in your draft picks if you'd like. YouTube.com/SacktownSports1140. Again, it's YouTube.com/SacktownSports1140. Give us that thumbs up if you can. We always appreciate it. You can also text them in, 916-339-1140. The order is Simone, JJ, myself, and then Rami.
I like that.
Rami's fine because he's probably got a list of 75 superheroes to go to. My man ain't worried about being last.
My draft board is
deep.
Stocked.
Deep.
Yes, it, you know, is. Like, it is
like,
deep.
You know, people like NFL draft pundits are like, this is a very thin draft. It's a weak
this
draft.
This thing is deep.
Rami's sitting in his war room going,
no, it's
what?
Deep. I got guys. I got sleepers.
I got guys in the seventh round.
I know where to find talent.
All right. Simone, lead us off.
I am going to go with just an almighty, powerful being. I'm going to take Captain Marvel off the board.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Captain Marvel.
All right.
Already lost.
Already lost these two.
Not on my board.
I know who Captain Marvel is.
Okay,
I'm not
chick.
That. I mean, Captain Marvel, I get it. Not on my board.
Yeah.
She's a badass.
Yeah.
Good for her. Not
save
on my
the
board.
World. Yes. Save the world.
I lied that I said I knew who Captain Marvel was. Totally thought it was a guy.
Okay.
Nope. Young lady.
So, we're off and running.
Good.
I was pretty confident until I heard she, and I go, wait, what?
No.
Gender.
Captain Marvel's a she, yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's her pronoun. Yes, sir.
All righty. Totally thought it was a dude. This is great.
Jay?
Everything is fine. Everything's fine.
Jay, you're up next.
Yeah, so the way I went about it is I'm looking for somebody who's going to be around forever. Someone you can't kill, someone who's probably the most meanest, strongest, bad attitude type person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going with I see this person as not that person, but someone that's hard to kill. I'm going Deadpool.
Oh,
wow.
I like it. Take me out, brother.
I like that, too.
I like it.
You can blow me up, shoot me, cut me, do everything. I'm still going to be back. I'm going to crack a joke, and I'm going to slice you up.
That's a solid sleeper of
that
a first-round pick. Look at Jay.
Sleeper.
Look
I
at
know.
Jay
I'm
bringing
impressed.
In. I like it. I like it.
Here's where the draft gets boring and bad, people.
No.
Don't Superman. Come with Catwoman
Picking
or
Superman.
Something.
I don't care.
But you know what?
I don't care. I'm going Superman.
If you didn't let Superman slip to me, I was going to say to all of you, you're overthinking this.
Yeah, he's the end all be all.
He's the most powerful superhero out there. He
no,
has superhuman strength.
Captain Marvel
he
would
can
body
fly.
Superman.
He's made of steel.
Nope, nope.
He can freeze you with his breath. He can burn a hole in you with his eyes.
I reject this.
He's going to get jumped at the newspaper. The newspaper's office. He's got to go into a phone booth. I'm going to slap his glasses off.
And if you do that, Jay, he can just fly and reverse the rotation of the world and turn back time. Even if he loses the fight, he can turn back time. The man is that powerful.
I mean, here's the thing. I already won. It's been established. So now I'm good the rest of the way. I'm good the rest of the way. All right, Rami.
All right, around to me.
Here, I feel like we need some kind of like a siren or something for Rami's picks.
I think this is. I mean, he's not a sleeper. This is a guy. This guy's a popular pick coming out in the draft, and he has everything going for him that I just said about Superman. Except he can't exactly fly. He can leap long stretches.
Oh.
Superhuman strength. Skin of steel.
Going.
I'm going with Incredible Hulk, man.
Yeah,
I'm going
that's where
with
I was
the Incredible
going,
Hulk.
Damn it. He's one of my favorites, man.
Yep,
I love
the TV
show with Lou Ferrigno growing up. Oh,
yep.
Oh, that was one of the first things that got me into superheroes.
Yep.
You
loved
get to
it.
Stay angry. That's
oh,
nice.
My God. Love that movie. Love that TV show.
I love that show.
Oh, so good.
All right.
Isn't it
one more
oh,
from
I
you,
got,
Rami.
I get two picks. That's right. This is where it gets a little bit more... I have to let me look at the draft board. Let me just go over it a little bit.
Wait. We're four deep here.
Yeah, I know. I just want to make sure we're only getting three picks. I want to make sure
I
draft the right guys.
I can't believe you.
I'm going through the draft
Digging
board.
Digging deep on the board
I can't
already.
Go through the draft board.
Well, right, we got them.
All right, we can possibly squeze in four.
Okay.
If we
keep it moving.
Give me Thor. I'm going to go with Thor.
Ah, he was
Damn
on there
it,
too.
Rami.
He was on mine.
Rami's taking some of my favorites.
Rami, you'll also notice Charlie in the YouTube chat said Homelander is pretty powerful.
That is pretty
good.
Yeah, and you know
be
what?
He is in the
draft pool. I have to say he's
oh
technically
God.
A superhero.
Officially just had to look up Homelander so I could
never heard of him.
had to Google him. I've seen him in advertisements.
He's an anti-hero more than a superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen him
he's popular in GIFs, great facial expressions.
GIFs.
Yes. GIFs.
All right.
I made my two picks. Back to you, Nick.
I know you took Hulk.
I did.
My heart is broken.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Wolverine.
Okay.
That's a good one. That's a good pick.
I feel like that reaction was like just
no,
trying
no, no.
to make me feel better.
No,
there was like 2 seconds of like.
No, that's because I was looking at my draft board and getting ready for the night. I was trying to like project
Wolverine,
out
like,
the
if
next
I,
round.
If I could have had Superman... The Hulk and Wolverine, I would have been thrilled.
Yeah.
That would have been like my dream team.
Mm. Made of titanium.
Yes.
He's got the dog in him. Even though he's a Wolverine, he's got the dog in him. You know, Wolverine is only
heal.
Like...
He
you
heals
know,
quickly.
He heals. You know, he's only like 5'3".
He's a shawty.
Little guy.
He's a small guy.
See? Little guy.
Gives us hope.
I've been like features.
Gives us hope.
Short
team. All right.
Back to
All right.
Jay.
On me. Same thing. I'm going with someone who's got like 62 guns on his hip. does this thing. He is a badass. I'm going Punisher.
Oh,
wow.
I'm Punisher.
Dude,
take me out, baby.
Thinking of some really interesting ones.
Yeah,
I got a bunch of Punisher comic books at home.
Me too.
Oh,
the Netflix series. You don't even have to be a comic book or a superhero guy to like the Netflix series. In my opinion, and they're bringing it to Disney Plus now. The best thing Marvel has done. And all the things Marvel has done, that's my favorite thing Marvel has done.
Okay.
Simone, you disagree?
I just haven't seen
The
Punisher, I guess, to argue it.
Oh, it's
but
so good, Simone.
I've seen a lot of great
watch it.
Products.
You gotta
them.
Watch it.
All right, Simone.
It's
back,
on me.
Back to back.
Continuing with the X-Men theme here. We love the X-Men. They are, of course, an allegory for the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take... Professor X.
That's a good one.
Mental. I like it.
Mind control.
More mental.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
That might be, you know, the old conversation of like, what superpower would you want?
Yeah.
Might be mind control.
Yeah. I debated between that and Magneto. I really like Magneto as well. I guess I shouldn't give away too many.
I would have leaned towards Magneto.
I like Professor X.
All right, Professor X got the mind.
Your second one.
Oh, and then taking it back to the ladies, Scarlet Witch. I guess I just want, like, mind control. I don't know. That's what all of my people are serving, psychic abilities. And, yeah, I'm really proud of myself.
All right.
Scarlet Witch, yet another one I had to Google.
Yeah, never heard of that one myself.
A lot of education happening today.
All right. If we're going four, are we going to sneak in four?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
if you try.
All right. No problem. Then I'm going to go with my third pick. I'm going with Spawn. I'm going with the badass.
Ooh, Spawn. That is a good one.
I like Spawn.
Yeah,
I like
Spawn. I hate to say this. He's from the dark side. He's from the underworld. But I'm going Spawn. You're going to have to take me out. I'm rough with it. And I'm not dying. Spawn's not dying. Deadpool's not dying.
All right. Who's it on now?
Me.
Jay's got
Thousand-Year War.
It's me.
Okay. Back to you, Nick.
All right. I got to add a female to the mix.
Ladies.
Equal opportunity. I like it.
I'm going Phoenix.
Wow. Jean Grey.
I like it.
I like it, too.
Is that okay?
Telepathic powers.
Not where
powers.
I would have gone if I was adding a female to the team, but I like it.
Don't care. I really like it.
I know.
Yeah.
Resurrection. She can resurrect herself.
That is true.
I respect that.
Is that X-Men?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Fiery redhead. Always been a fan.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there you go.
Back around to me with two picks, right?
Yes.
Third and fourth round.
Indeed.
Okay. I'm trying to pick between two, like, mainstream popular ones, and I can't.
You got two picks. Pick them both.
No, because I have a sleeper on my board, too.
You're going to pick one of them that I was thinking of picking.
I'm going to go Spider-Man.
Huh?
With my third pick.
All right. See, I thought Rami was going to go deep cuts.
Again, super strength, agility, swing on the webs. He can trap you in a web.
Because Phoenix would have been there.
Right.
I should have picked Spider-Man.
And my fourth one, again, a bit of a deep cut, if you're not a superhero or comic book guy, Dr. Manhattan.
Wow.
I have no idea who that is.
From The Watchmen.
I'm clapping back here.
Basically had godlike powers.
Blue Man.
Yes.
That is
pretty good.
That's what I should have picked.
Blue
wow,
Man
wow,
is
wow,
part of the Blue Man group?
Yes. He was the original Blue Man.
Vegas?
He was the original Blue Man.
Very nice, Nick. Very nice. Good to have you back.
He drums you to death. I'm going Batman.
Batman.
That was the other guy. It was between Spider-Man and Batman for
That's
me.
The two I was looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. So I'm going nice. Batman.
Solid pick. The only thing about Batman is he's just a dude. He's just a rich guy with a lot of,
I know.
With a lot of toys who knows how to fight. You know what I mean?
But he's a badass.
Sure,
and he
absolutely.
Does things for good reasons. So
absolutely.
I'm going, I mean, come on. Superman, Batman, Wolverine, and Phoenix. I feel really good about
my
list.
There's a couple on the board. I'm surprised they're still there.
All right, JJ.
All right, Mr. Wayne. love Bane. Bane was one
man.
Of the best.
Yeah.
So I'm down to two.
I was one born is- in the darkness.
One is a super deep cut. I'm going to throw it out there. No one's going to pick it. Rami, you could talk about this. Mm-hmm. The Spectra. Spectra had godlike features. Even God couldn't deal with
Spectra.
Him. Spectra.
Again,
but I'm going, because I got to do it for my people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Black Panther.
That was one of the ones I was saying was
Wakanda
still on the board.
Forever.
Surprisingly.
Black Panther.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Agility, really like Superman.
I think the first Black Panther might still be my favorite or second favorite Marvel movie.
Oh, it's a beautiful film.
Great.
Beautiful motion picture.
Yes.
I will end this.
Haven't seen it.
Really?
You devastate me.
That's what I do. That's what I'm here for.
I will end with Storm.
Storm.
Solid
I like
pick.
It. I like Storm.
I
love Halle Berry's
really,
interpretation.
Yes,
what if it's
absolutely.
Hot?
Is that what we're calling it? The interpretation?
Yes.
The interpretation.
Yeah, yes.
Her rendition.
Classy way to say it.
Her rendition of Storm was fantastic.
I always wonder, what if you were like in the middle of Arizona and you need a storm? Does it work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She can do it anywhere.
Yeah.
I always wondered that.
I'll pick
anywhere.
In the desert.
Extra fifth pick, I'll pick Halle Berry as my superhero.
Now you won.
You
won.
She does have superpowers. To look as good as she does. She does have superpowers.
She does.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Superhero. Monsters Ball.
That was fun. I think my guys win a fight, though. Like if we put all our teams Survivor Series style in a ring.
You got to stop. If anything, it's between me and Nick.
Mm, Dr. Manhattan?
I love that.
Just yeah. All Oops, of you. I forgot Never about heard him. Of him. I forgot about him.
Never heard of him.
Damn it. If I had taken him, I would have had world enders.
See, I lowered expectations and then they came on.
You did. That was a solid draft.
All right. Just relied on my comic book collection from when I was like 13.
That's not bad.
Me and Simone, we're going to go Meteor Man on this side. Are you guys familiar with Meteor Man?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Blank Man.
Yeah.
I thought about going Blank Man. Damon Wayans.
Blank Man was great.
Captain America didn't get picked.
That was a guy. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was the guy who I was Thing. Like, wow, still on the board. I love Captain
Thing, another one of my favorites.
Thing is pretty good.
Yeah, you could
The Fantastic Four.
In your own time, Simone.
The legend of the Fantastic Four has been tarnished by two terrible attempts at making a movie.
Didn't they make three?
They're trying again, but like they're getting the Marvel treatment this time, not this the Sony
why,
treatment.
This is why we should not have gone to four or five, because here it goes.
We're late for a break.
Back on the tracks, folks. All right, can the 49ers accomplish something the Warriors couldn't? We'll discuss that next.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.